Vanya.
Mike Jensen.
We're here. We're recording.
Get used to it.
Get used to it. We're doing okay. A couple of things. I can talk, which I will say when I was texting with you of like, let's find a time, like whatever works best, we'll do it.
Yeah.
I immediately, when you were like, okay, this time at this day, I was like, great. I hope that I can speak by then. Because I legitimately couldn't talk for like 3 days.
Oh, that's horrible. That's like my least favorite thing, you know?
It was very frustrating. And it started, I guess we'll just launch right in and I'll tell you the last week and a half of my life, which involved the weirdest illness trajectory that I've ever experienced. Whereas literally like a week and a half ago, Sunday night into Monday morning, I woke up in the middle of the night and was like shaking, was like just cold and had the chills. And I was like, I guess I'm getting sick. I guess I'm getting whatever it is that's going around, you know?
Right.
Woke up the next day and felt fine. Huh. Was like, well, that was a weird 3-hour flu that apparently I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monday felt fine. Tuesday felt fine. Wednesday felt fine. Thursday woke up and was like, oh, am I sick now? Like, it was just the weirdest, like, like I was just so tired. Like, I couldn't imagine. And I missed the call out at work. Like, they let someone not come in and I didn't get it in time. So I'm like, I guess I'm going to go to work and work harder than I would have because there's only going to be two of us on the floor. And it was really hot. Like, I literally went in and I'm like, I probably shouldn't be here. Like, I'm not feeling very well, but like, we'll get through it. And it was kind of okay. And then I took the cut the next day because management knew that I wasn't feeling well. So they reached out to me first to be like, And I was like, let me just take the night to kind of like rest up. And then Saturday was kind of like, I think I'm doing better. Like, I feel a little more rested. I feel like, you know, like I think I'll be okay. And literally got to work. And my thing about my life sometimes is that I don't talk a whole lot during the day.
Right.
Right. My day is pretty solitary. So I got to work and the management was like, how are you feeling? And I was like, okay. And I was like, I can't talk. Like, I didn't have a voice and I didn't even realize it. But it was too late. Like, I was at work.
Yeah.
So I literally had to just like croak at all of my tables and felt so sheepish and was like, I don't have a voice. Like, I'm so sorry. And everyone was like nice and patient. And they got me off the floor as soon as they could. But yeah, it was a whole thing. And then like the next couple of days just like didn't have a voice. So this is a wild improvement today on how I have been.
Do you have throat coat tea?
I do have throat coat. Okay. I did do that a couple of times. I also I have like the fisherman's friends that do kind of like soothe. So, but it's just been a weird experience for me. I don't know. I haven't really experienced this kind of...
It's all like in your chest. Is that what's going on?
So it's been all in my nose. It's been all in my sinus area. Mm. And then like a little bit into my throat. Okay. Now it's kind of a little more down here. But it's just weird. Like, it doesn't feel like a normal illness. Like, it doesn't feel like your usual... But I don't know. Maybe I'm just not remembering what being... Because I don't get sick all that often.
Yeah,
so when it happens, I guess I just get confused by it.
Yeah, I got really sick during the holidays, during Christmas Eve, all that. That was really fun. And I actually ended up getting, I thought it was the neurovirus, but it was actually food poisoning. I got food poisoning on Christmas Eve. Because I went, it had to have been it because I'm the only one that got sick. We went to Lazy Dog, I'll say it, and I had the tomato soup. Honestly, oftentimes it's the veggies that get you sick. I don't know what was it. Somebody dipped their poopy pinky in there and I don't know, I'm just kidding, but hopefully not. But yeah, I was like starting, it was almost like sudden. I mean, it took an hour. We were shopping afterwards. We were doing all the last minute shopping on Christmas Eve at the mall, which is not a good idea to do.
Right.
But some of us were busy. I started a new job. I literally have had no time to even and I hate online shopping because I need to touch things, smell them, feel them before I buy them. Anyway, but yeah, it was hell. And then I also couldn't talk, it infuriates me because, you know, I have control things, right? So I'm like controlling our family. We're doing things. And then when I don't talk and then my partner doesn't like pick up the slack of all the things that I'm doing, then I get enraged. And you know what? He's not me. And I can't expect him to be me. I just have a whole like F you feeling when I'm sick. I'm just so mad. I'm also angry about it, you know?
Because it's just, you're literally not in control. Like, that's the thing for me is that I'm just like, I'm not in control. like, I'll go to talk, I'll literally be like, I'm gonna be fine. And then I will like go to talk and I can't talk. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah. It's like, I gotta get shit done, man.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
And I can't imagine like having like, you know, two kids and all that. Oh, like, yeah. For me, it's just me.
It's tough. But I will say something different than you and I, Mike. But if I was alone, I'd be talking all day still, because I love to hear my own voice. I'm crazy. I don't know. I'm always like, good morning, Vanya. I look in the mirror. I don't know. Maybe I don't do that, but I think I talk a lot. Yeah.
I think that maybe if I lived alone, I would maybe.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
But it's the thing where like there are other people in the apartment. So I'm like,
oh, yeah, I forgot. You know. Oh, they're still there.
Yeah. They're still there. How is the new job going?
It's really good. So I started a job, kind of like the biggest job I've had since before the pandemic. So like, because after the pandemic, I had a job, but like, you know, it's like online, it was different. But yeah, so this is like, the stakes are a little bit higher. I'm driving into work 3 days a week, 2 to 3. And it's far. It's where I live, Mike. It's almost to where Redondo is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Playa Vista, which is near Marina Del Rey and like Culver City. Here's one thing I will say. I really thought, because when I work at home from home, I get so exhausted by like 3 p.m. I literally need to like lay down for 15 minutes. But the thing I realized, and it is nice to have the days like today I'm working from home, but it's nice because I actually work more intensely when I'm at home. Like I don't leave my desk. I'm just like sitting and I'm all the things that you can't get done when you're around people. And I was really worried I'm going to be so tired when I go in. Actually feel super energized. I mean, the commute is around an hour 15 to an hour 45, depending on the feelings. But usually it's around an hour 15. If there's no traffic, it's like 45 minutes, which is great. And then if we lived a little bit closer in our area, it would only be 30 minutes. I'm like, I love our house. We're never moving. But like, just for fun, I was like fantasizing and looking at houses that are closer, you know, down I-5 in our area. And everything's ugly, whatever. But it would shave like almost 20 minutes off of the commute, which you don't really think about, you know. Anywho, the office is great. I feel so good and like purposeful in the way that like, you know, I'm still learning. There's so much to learn. It's a huge company. And there are so many teams because it's so mass. It's like one of the biggest companies in our country, you know? So,
sure.
And, you know, when I left my last company, I was doing like a meeting with a girl who I didn't really know very well, but I was kind of giving her some of my historical information after working there for so long. And she was like, well, good luck working for the evil, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? I said, I will. I'm going to feed my family. And also, everyone in my office is wonderful. And truthfully, they employ a lot of people. And you don't know if your boss raped somebody. I'm kidding. My boss didn't rape. No, I'm just saying. What I'm saying is, like, well, none of us know, like, where, I don't know. Maybe I'm not speaking correctly. But all I know is everyone I work for is wonderful. And I feel really, really proud of my team. And it's all creatives. And anyways, I'm not going to let this, it sounds like I'm letting this person get to me, but she was like, you know, I thought it was really rude too. Like in this atmosphere where it's really hard to find a job, like go screw yourself, like lady, like kiss my ass. I'm sorry, you feel comfortable telling me that I'm going to work for the evil? We don't even know each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. That pissed me off. But otherwise, I truly, like the director that I'm working for is one of my favorite people. He's also a friend, and I've worked for him before. I worked with him back in New York. And I just, like, love everybody I've met are wonderful. And they're all creative, you know, advertising people. It's wonderful. It's exciting.
Yeah, I think it's tough when it comes to, like, because I always see the list of, like, companies we're boycotting this week.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know that there's a great big company that hasn't done anything bad. Like, I don't know that, like, big companies look out for themselves, and that tends to have to do with more conservative politics. And listen, I'm not forgiving big companies for the bad things that they've done. Like, it's a thing that we should be aware of.
Totally.
But particularly when it comes to, like, working for them, I guess that my thought is, I'd rather good people be part of the situation, because then maybe there's some kind of change that's happening from within.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, there's things, you know, like I can't, you know, talk about because it's all like in strategy. And, but I will say that research is right. Like, they're on the right side is what I'm saying. Like, you know, they're not denying anything. Like, you know, you do basically in advertising, you do, you got to know your customers, right? So like they're trying to serve the people who are perhaps losing healthcare, perhaps blah, blah, blah. Like nobody, you know, it's all real. It's all, that's interesting to me too, is that like, I sometimes feel, okay, forget the job stuff, but I have been back and forth, Mike, with taking Instagram and Facebook off my phone. Like I do it every other day. Like I put it back on because I need it, and then I take it off because it's made me feel sick inside. And so when you're in, for me, when I'm like scrolling, and not even doom scrolling, I'm like some of the things, most of my feed is fairly positive-ish. But then you're living in this reality that's not really a reality. Like you're seeing all these, I'm just saying that I feel, I have this like, okay, what am I saying? I am saying that I am surviving by trying to keep positivity in my head because I'm taking care of kids. I can't take care of them if I'm in a crippling depression.
Right.
I don't know. Sorry, yeah, I took a long trail there. I'm sorry. But that is something I've been feeling a lot lately this week. Like the last week when the kids were home for 3 weeks. Keep your thought. Don't lose it.
Yeah.
When I was home for 3 weeks, the last week I was alone with the kids. I was working still and they were home and it was bleak and Renee Good got shot in the face and all this shit. It's just, I haven't felt that level of despair since the pandemic went like around January 6th, you know? Mm. And I'm just like, what the hell is happening? So yeah, there you go.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about her for just a minute because I don't have any facts that no one else has. And right. I don't know what new things we might discover. And I know that there's still a certain amount of like, was she there observing? Was she just dropping off her kids? Let's say that she was there observing.
Yeah, who cares?
No one deserves to get shot 3 times because no they're one. There observing. And others are articulating this better than I am. But there is something about it that is hopefully revealing to the public at large. You are not safe.
Yeah.
Anyone listening is not safe. Anyone listening could have been in a car and been confused about what they're all like, just obey the orders. I didn't know what the orders were. Were the orders to drive away or were the orders to get out of your car? Like, it was several people screaming different things at her.
Yeah.
And then someone starts yanking at her handle. If you in a million years think you wouldn't at that point be like, I'm getting out of this situation. Yeah. Of course, that's your instinct.
Yeah.
I'm getting out of the situation. Someone in a mask who is culpable of nothing, like who can get away with anything. We've now learned that like, they can do whatever they want. Like these agents can do whatever they want. And no one's going to hold them to any kind of responsibility. If someone in a mask is trying to open your car door, I'm driving away.
Yeah.
Who isn't driving away? Of course, you're like, I'm getting out of here. And for that, she was killed. She was murdered.
Here's the thing. Nobody, I would never. Okay. I know. Like the first thing I looked up after this whole thing happened is like, what kind of training do these people get? Because I know for a fact that like police officers will, you don't shoot at a moving vehicle,
No.
Maybe like if there's someone who's a menace to society and about to go murder a lot of people, you might shoot somebody fleeing. I guess that's one of the rules. I'm not really sure. But like, so I was like, these people don't know the rules. They must not get, but the guy had, I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like I would never, and also I feel like I'm not saying a full sentence because it's so upsetting all of this, but like, I am a person, I'm a protector, right? When I was in high school, there was this kid getting bullied and I stood in front of it and I totally got slapped, you know, stood in front of this kid who was getting beaten in high school. And I'm that person, and that's another reason it made me so upset, because I'm like, I think this lady is kind of, if she was trying to protect, like think about it, we're all trying to protect our neighbors. It's, and we would never think, and also the white lady is, there's a lot of pressure on the, I know it sounds, but there's a lot of pressure on the white lady right now to like use your privilege, right?
Right.
So she never in a million years thought she was going to be, going back to your point of it just now, it really feels like no one's safe. And it's sickening. And I do feel like the wave is hopefully changing. I mean, the people who are the MAGA are drinking the Kool-Aid. They're like definitely, there's something in their head that is scary. It's like, it's cult. It's cult scary. And we've talked about that a lot. But I have to say one thing. The Minnesotan, mm-hmm. was it mayor? Hottie hot, hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Oh my God. He's like, get the fuck out of.
Yeah.
I loved him so much. I'm like, yeah. that guy for president because I just love him. I think he's adorable and I appreciate, he said what everybody was feeling and I don't know if it's doing anything. There was also a sheriff in Philadelphia. Did you see her? Oh, hers is good. I'll send it to you. But like, it's basically saying like, I do feel like the tide is turning where this is illegal. This is not a legal thing that's happening right. with the ICE just coming in and terrorizing the citizens.
Yeah. And the man's point of like, because I can also listen, there's part of it can be like, maybe you shouldn't use the F word in when you're doing a news conference. Like I can kind of understand that. But his whole point of like, I used an F word. They murdered someone.
Yeah. Like I like that he used
let's not get outraged about the wrong thing here.
Yeah. People are killing people with guns all the time. But yet my language is this. I think the strong language was needed personally. Because it's and that scary. We're living in that right. scary of times.
And what I was kind of trying to like get to before that I don't think that I fully got to is like this is happening to men and women of color every day.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
men and women of color, black, brown, people are being removed from their homes and killed and murdered. Like it's happening. We might not hear about it. It might not make the news every day, but it's happening every day. And it happened this time to a white woman. And that her life is not more valuable. Like there should not be greater outrage because it was a white woman, but it should open people's eyes to
visible.
We are now living in a world where this can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
That was the point that I was kind of trying to make earlier.
Yeah.
And I don't think I made it very well. So I wanted to circle back really fast.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's sick. And I mean, people are getting who are citizens are getting caught up and taken. And it's not the way it should be here.
Yeah. Tough, continuing tough times. But yeah, I do hope that as people become more aware of it, that something is, I don't know, that it sparks an outrage in you. I feel like there are so many things we could talk about because a lot has happened since we stopped recording. And I do at some point want to talk a little bit about, because I did my show a few months ago and I'd
yes!
like to talk on that a bit, but maybe not right now because that might get a little bit too much. So I thought,
okay.
Did you watch any of the Golden Globes? This is a real whiplash, but it's
no,
what
I love
else,
it. Like,
that happened
well,
this week.
That's partly why we had to get
right.
recording.
Yeah.
I watched a tiny bit. So we took off all of the like my live streaming services and got something that it's hard to find anything on my TV. So I'm going to have to go back because I was spending so much money. So anyways, so I have found it, but I only saw I saw Chloe's speech and maybe
Chloe
a few
Zhao.
Others. But I would like for you to take us through it because I am going to I'm going to feel it through your eyes if you'd like to tell me your highlights.
Yeah, it was a really fun night. Give me 1 second.
Yeah. By the way, if you know Mike, he cut his hair. It looks really good. I love the blonde. I like the short. It's really cute.
Well, it's funny because I've been growing, as I've stated a few times, that I was sort of blackmailing myself. That I was like, you're not allowed to cut your hair until you do your show.
Yeah.
So I did the show and then people immediately were like, you haven't cut your hair yet. And I was like, well, okay, I'm going to but now it became kind of a thing of like, I've been growing my hair out for legitimately about 4 years and it suddenly felt very like, oh gosh, I'm just going to like cut it off. So I thought, well, let's do something fun first.
Yeah.
So I dyed it blonde. I did it on my own and I literally was going to go spend $100 at a salon and like have someone do it professionally. And then I thought, nah, just do it. Like just buy the thing and do it at home. And it wasn't perfect, but like I liked it. I thought it was cute. And I did it 2 times. I did it a second process just to like make it as blonde as possible. And it was, once again, it was very fun, but also was ready to cut it. And it's so funny how the day that I decided that I was really going to, cut it all off, I was so scared. I was like, oh gosh, this is so nerve-wracking. Uh-huh. And then I did it. And then I'm like, oh, I love having short hair. Like, why have I been? And it's fun to change. Like, it's fun to do different things. It's
yes.
fun to like have a different style. But I definitely like, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that my hair is short now. So yeah, I have short blonde hair.
It looks great.
Maybe I want to stay blonde for a little bit. Thank you.
You should.
I really like it. I'm super into it.
Yeah, I think it's a fun and it's a good look right now. The blonde tips or not tips, but it's cute.
Yeah.
I like it and I agree with it.
So Golden Globes, sorry, we're really all over the place, but we have a lot to cover. I really enjoyed them. I think that Nikki Glaser is really funny. I think she's very good at that job. Like she knows kind of like the tone to be silly and be funny, but like not just be mean. Like she was talking about some jokes that they cut out because that might just be mean. And I totally get that. I thought it was a fun night. Like I've been first of all, my movie watching has been amazing this year. Like, you've seen the list. Like, I've seen everything. Like, I've literally seen, if it's been released, I've basically seen it at this point.
I love it.
So I had pretty much seen everything. You know, SAG nominations came out last week, and I didn't have to add anything to the list because they were all, it's all already there. You know, Oscar nominations are on the 22nd, so that'll be my final kind of rearranging of the list to kind of put them in, you know, see these to see all the pictures and see these to see the actors, that kind of thing.
Wow, Mike.
But I thought it was fun. It was also fun because, you know, the Critics' Choice had happened the week before, but there's no overlap in, or I don't think there's overlap in the Critics' Choice and the Golden Globes, but also Golden Globes voting had ended before the Critics' Choice happened, so like one wasn't affecting the other.
Okay.
So like Amy Madigan had won at Critics' Choice for Weapons, which is a really cool win. Like, that's such an interesting movie and a really interesting role.
Adam said he loved it and he said that I might like it. Sorry,
I think that you'll like it. Here's the thing, it's so hard to, I want to say certain things to put you at ease.
Okay.
Because, like, it is legitimately scary, but don't be scared, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's never, it like, it does a good job of, like, being scary without ever being, like, brutal, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And certainly there are moments that are kind of, but it's never what you think it's going to be. That's all that I'm going to say.
Okay. I'm looking, just so you know, the reason I'm not looking at you is I'm looking at the list. It's a big list and you really did a good job. We have a shared document and I'm so proud of you. Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh, I did really.
I'm trying to like put notes in. I'm trying to put notes in of like where you can see them. Like, I think that One Battle is now streaming on HBO, and like Sinners,
amazing.
I think, is on HBO. So there are places you can see, start seeing things online.
I'm sorry.
Sinners is a really interesting film.
I watched it again. You know, it's even better the second time. It's so good.
I should watch it again.
Oh,
it's been a year of movies that I've like really thought were interesting and not a ton that I've like loved. So it's been kind of a weird year for me as far as that goes.
Yeah. Okay. You didn't love Hamnet. Okay. I read the book.
No,
I loved it.
We're going to get to that one. We'll get to that one in just a minute.
Shut up, Vanya. Okay.
But yeah. So like, you know, so like Teyana Taylor winning for One Battle After Another was really fun at the Globes. And then Stellan Skarsgård winning for Best Supporting Actor was really fun. I do think that Timothée Chalamet at this point is like just going to sweep the rest of the season. And he's probably going to win for Marty Supreme.
Really?
Which is great. Marty Supreme is a movie where everyone is like functioning on, all, like everyone is doing the best work of ever. Like,
really?
Oh my God. Okay. Writing, directing, Gwyneth, you know what I mean? Like, just everyone is so good.
Okay.
I just didn't like it. It just wasn't a film that I enjoyed watching. It's that thing where like, did you see Uncut Gems?
Yeah.
So if you were like really into Uncut Gems, but you were like, but longer and with ping pong, like that's sort of what it was. So it was hard for me. So maybe me telling you that maybe will make it easier for
you. Yeah, maybe I'll go in not expecting too much because
I do think it's worth seeing. Like, it is beautifully filmed. And once again, everyone in it is doing such amazing work. Timothée Chalamet is doing amazing work. I just fucking hated his character. So
yeah.
I think that if you can kind of go in with that, you know. So anyways, you know, it was overall a good night. I'm going to say this, and you can be mad at me if you want. It's fine. The only thing that I didn't want to have happen is I didn't want Ricky Gervais to win for stand-up.
I know. Why did he win?
Because he hosted the Golden Globes many times. I think there's a certain amount of, like, love for him in that organization.
Who was up? Who was up for that? There was, like...
So the other one that I didn't want to have... Let's talk about what I didn't like.
Yeah.
I also wasn't super into... Oh, God. Let me see if I can find the nominees real fast.
I know. I'm sorry. Because it's men and women, right? It's all stand-up.
Well, it's men and women. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Because, listen, I really liked Kumail Nanjiani's.
Kumail. I watched his.
I thought that his was very funny. I was super into his.
And his was, you know, honestly, it was interesting. I could feel his uncomfort. I love stand-up, you know. I think I saw everything. That's the one thing that I did.
Like, Bill Maher is the other one that I'm just like...
Oh, did he do one?
Yeah, he was up for it. And once again, it's like, it's him and the Ricky Gervais of it all, where they're very much like, what? I'm just calling it out even as I see it, even in liberals. And I'm like, okay, but you're I don't know. I just feel like he's a dick. And you know what joke isn't funny to me anymore? This isn't funny to me. Ready? This is the overall joke. They said I couldn't say blah, 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 blah. Turns out, I can.
Yeah.
No one meant you physically couldn't say the words.
You
the point
dumb
was
motherfucker.
You sound like a fucking asshole when you say it.
Yeah.
So that's I just that whole like kind of comedy makes me a little bit crazy. Kevin Hart's I thought was funny. Like, I do think that he's funny. He's not necessarily like my brand of humor.
Yeah.
But like, I laughed. Sarah Silverman. I think that Sarah Silverman
hers was
like
amazing.
Her, It was so good, and it was so heartfelt. And, like, Brett Goldstein's also, I thought, was fantastic.
Oh, I loved his. Actually, I think I would have picked him. I don't know. I think he's...
It would have been... It was a hard one. Between him and Sarah Silverman, yeah, like, Sarah's, it would be one of the two of them, probably, for me.
She's, like, freaking... She's so... Like, she's at the top of her game, you know?
She is. And it's that thing... It's the kind of stand-up that I love, where, like, it's very funny, but it's also very heartfelt.
Yeah.
Like, it's coming from such, like, a beautiful emotional place, but then she knows how to, like, put the comedy spin on it.
Yeah. Mike, did you watch Marcelo Hernandez? I think that will
be... I haven't. Is it good?
I'm obsessed with him. I love him so much.
I'm a little bit, too. Like, there's something about him that is, like... imminently watchable.
You have to listen, my parents, they are wonderful, but like there's something about having a sort of very hardworking, you know, an immigrant father in my case. Like, I mean, he's a U.S. citizen, please no one go after him. But he talks about his mom, and like, I mean, some of it is very, I relate so deeply to a lot of it. It's hilarious. And then he does this whole thing of like, well, I don't want to give anything away, but he talks about like when you're at a family gathering and you're with your cousins and everybody's like, I'm with my cousins. It's so funny. Oh my God. You need to see it. He's joyful. I love him. And I know it'll be maybe up for the next year, but like, it's what I needed. It made me laugh because things have been really rough these days.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll check that one out. I was also really, really happy. And she wasn't there, which is always kind of a bummer. But Michelle Williams finally won a prize for Dying for Sex.
I'm obsessed.
And I just like, I wanted her to win something. So I was glad that she won like a major award for that role.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking. Yeah. You know, the only person I did, sorry, back to, real quick to the, I finally found the stand up. The only one I didn't see was Bill Maher because I can't quite handle him.
I just, okay, that's it. Yeah, once again. Yeah. I don't watch it. There's no need to.
I won't.
It's fine.
I'm like, I won't.
But I thought it was a good night. And I suppose in a way this can sort of bring us into like what I'm digging. Because it's sort of what I think my favorite movie of the year. And I didn't think that it had a chance. I thought there was no way. I do think that Jessie Buckley is in the same category as Timothée Chalamet, where I think she's just going to keep winning. And I think that she's kind of... guaranteed the like she, when you
crazy.
See that movie
I've
she's
seen
so good.
Clips of her and I'm like, and I read the book and I'm like, I'm a little nervous to see it because I don't know if I'll be able to handle my life afterwards a little bit.
So it's hard because it gets into like hyperbole. I did not read the book of Hamnet. I only kind of knew what I was getting myself into when I went and saw the movie. I'm going to go ahead and say this, and like, I want to say it with the thing of like, this was like, I'm not trying to hype it up because I don't want to hype anything up. I want everyone to see it with their own eyes. My emotional reaction to Hamnet was like beyond all rationality. Like, it was embarrassing, Vanya. Like, I was an embarrassment to my people. Like, I was crying so hard.
Oh my God.
I was at the urinal, Vanya, afterward, like being like, you have to stop crying. Like,
oh
you
gosh.
Have to get your shit together. So I saw it again. I went and saw it for a second time last night. It was one of the few movies this year that I was like, I need to see it again. And I will say that I feel like I had a rational reaction to it this time.
Okay.
But it's still, it's a beautiful film. And her performance is amazing. But like Paul Mescal is so great in it. This little kid, Jacoby Jupe.
Oh, yeah.
Which was so funny watching this kid being like, he looks so much like the kid from like A Quiet Place and all. And it's his brother. It's his younger brother. And Noah Jupe is the older brother. And like, not really spoiler, but he's in it too. And it's like the way that the casting is done is so incredibly beautifully done. And Chloe Zhao, man,
she
I just feel
lovely.
Like she can't. She's so good. And I truly think her reaction at the Globes was like, I don't think anyone thought that movie had a shot in hell of winning for drama. And I'm so glad that it did. I will stand by it. I don't think it has a chance in hell of winning the Oscar. But I'm glad that it won a major award. Like, I'm glad that it scored something big somewhere. Because I really think it's just, it is my favorite movie of the year. Like, it is my favorite thing that came out last year.
Oh my God, so. I'm so excited. I gotta see it. It's not, I was ready to see it and then it wasn't in theaters again. But maybe it'll come back.
Well, yeah. It'll be back. Because they released it in a few theaters and it didn't do that well. And I think that the idea was like, well, let's wait for the awards season to come along. Because I do think it'll get a lot of nominations. I think like between like film and director and actress and hopefully supporting. Actor, and I'm guessing in some like screenplay and art direction. Like, it's beautifully, beautifully made. So I hope it's a film that like finds a way to come back as award season goes on. But yeah, I'm excited for you to see it.
So
yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Mike, you got to keep talking through everything because I'm looking at now every single one of the, I want to know what you think.
Well, and I don't want to be, this is going to go to a sort of negative place. And I don't mean that. I feel like we've had so many Academy Awards lately where screenplay, director, and picture are all the same person.
Right. Yeah.
And it's so boring to me. It's so boring when like the same man gets up over and over again and kind of gives the same speech. And I don't want to, I'm not putting any shade toward one battle after another. If I was a betting man, I would say it's probably going to win screenplay and director and picture of the year. I'm going to guess. And I didn't dislike it. I don't need it to win every single award, you know?
Yeah. It won for best director.
It's Paul Thomas Anderson. And I get there's a lot of thought of like, well, he's put out so much, like he's so a part of like the film industry, like let's reward this guy who's been churning out. He's not my thing, and that's not to say that I think his stuff is bad. It's just not my thing. It's just not my area of film that I want to watch. Yeah. I think that one battle after another is beautifully made. It has some moments in it that are incredible. To me, the most amazing thing in it is Regina Hall, if I'm being totally honest with you.
Oh,
I think she's in like 10 minutes of it probably. But what she brings is like searing to me. And that's not to take credit from anyone else. Everyone in it is doing incredible work. It's just not my film. And it's for me also a film that goes on like 20 minutes too long. Like I don't really get the last couple of scenes.
Yeah.
But it's fine. And once again, I don't want to be negative.
And it's a musical or a comedy? It's a musical.
No, not at all. It's that thing where they put it in there because there are some zany moments. I don't know. The whole musical comedy of it at the Golden Globes, I wish they would be like, let's stop pretending like they're actual comedies. Like there was the year that like The Martian won for best comedy. And it's like, well, that wasn't a comedy, but okay. You know, like, it's weird how they classify these things. So,
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, I've seen everything. I got lots of opinions, but we can talk more about it as we go along.
Okay, wait, let's talk one more thing. A new podcast. I love Amy Poehler. She won. Yay. It's a new new category.
So, I have resisted Amy Poehler's podcast.
I know. I don't know why.
I will tell you why, and this is why.
Okay.
And it's you can think that it's dumb. The thing is, I love her, and that's why I've resisted.
Oh, you're worried.
Because I want her to have a TV show, or I want her to be making a movie. Like, I want her to be doing that kind of thing. And you know what? Her career, her choice. Like,
I was going to say,
if this is what she wants to do with her time, listen, I'm in. I now subscribe. I listen every week. I think that she's fantastic. They're great interviews. That her interview with Gwyneth Paltrow was super, super fun.
Oh, like, I haven't listened to that.
It's great. It's kind of, it's not the one that broke me. I think that Ariana Grande was the one that I'm like, fine, I'm on your side. Like,
yes.
It's a fantastic, she's great. Like Amy Poehler's great. I support her in her podcasting. I'm very glad that she won. Was there a part of me that kind of wanted Up First to win? Sure. Cause like,
oh yeah.
Up First is like the NPR one that a shot in hell. But part of it was like, it would be kind of nice if like NPR, you know, they're having tough times right now. Let's maybe give them a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
But no, I was very happy for Amy Poehler. And it's a fantastic podcast.
Listen to Anna Gasteyer, her and Anna.
Did I listen to the whole thing? Definitely one that I've heard. No, I did. Yes, I listened to the whole one of them.
Okay,
yes.
Two things that came out of that. I play the violin. It is a very lonely instrument, she says. What she was saying, I couldn't believe it. No one had ever articulated it. And I felt, because you have to practice so much to be good, but you're alone. And Mike, do I like to be alone? No. I don't like to be alone. I mean, I can be alone. I want to be alone when I want to be alone, but I don't, you know what I mean? Not in a creative way. And then the other thing is Anna Gasteyer's Christmas album is so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. I'm just saying, next holiday season, listen to it. I like really want to be her friend so bad. Ooh, cha-cha-cha. No, but I love it. I love it all. I'm gonna listen. Yeah. And now that I have a long commute, honestly, I love that she beat Smartless, which is her ex-husband and those guys.
Right.
Because listen, their podcast is fun-ish, but like, it's a circle jerk, you know? I can't handle it. Like, let's just, you know.
I did like, they presented a Golden Globe, and there was a fun bit in there that I think that you would have liked, because it had to do with Jason Bateman being insufferable.
Oh, and he is, Lord. God, like, I would never want to be his server. Sounds like he's just a bitch.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Well, cool.
So if we were, if we've kind of just been like all over the place, and we're gonna kind of like bring it home right now. But would you say that the Marcelo Hernandez, is that his name?
Yeah, Marcelo Hernandez. Is what I'm digging.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, what are you digging?
I have something else. I have something else.
Okay, I'm excited.
I've been listening to an audiobook called Hail Mary, and I think it's going to be made into a movie with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
And it was on I was on sale, so I was like, I'll just do it. And I'm in the mood for it's science fiction, which I actually really like. And there's something comforting in science fiction because they go into like real science. And so they're with the world being as it is right now, listening to like real, you know, like sort of experiments they're talking about and science stuff, it comforts me. So it has that element of like, if you have ever read a science fiction type book, it's got those kind of, I think it's the same guy who wrote The Martian, but don't quote me.
It is.
I don't know. Okay,
yeah,
thank God. I'm like, I am lying to you. Sorry, everyone. So the guy who does the voice who reads the book is amazing. Like, I think you need to listen to the book because there's a whole part later that I don't want to reveal anything, but it requires a different auditorial. I don't know. You got to listen to it. I love the person who's the narrator. Thank you. I'm like, what am I trying to say here? I keep going voiceover artist, which he is, but it is. He has to do a million accents, different people, and like the way he portrays like just his opinions and feelings within the text. It's so good, Mike. I'm loving it. I'm not all the way. I'm on chapter like 20 right now, but it's been a wonderful escape. I highly recommend it.
Can you think of who the narrator is?
Ray Porter. Okay, so yeah. Oh. So the audiobook for Andy Weir's Project Hail Mary is narrated by the acclaimed voice actor Ray Porter, whose performance is praised for bringing the story's science, humor, and deep friendships to life, particularly capturing the main character's panic and self-deprecation. He is amazing. This guy, he needs an award. He does. Does he have an award?
Interesting. I don't know the name. I thought it would be like someone who I recognized.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Oh, look, that's an old picture of him. I think he's an older gentleman now, but yeah, no, he's honestly amazing.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I wanted to give a quick, because I'm going to put Hamnet as the thing I'm digging, because once again, I saw it a while back, but I saw it again.
Yeah.
But I want to give a quick shout out to one other film that came and went really quickly and isn't getting any notice. It got like long listed at the BAFTAs for the lead performing actor. But it's a movie, it's a movie we need right now. Like, it's a movie that is timely because it is timeless, or perhaps it is timeless because it is timely, one or the other.
Okay.
But it's Nuremberg. Nuremberg is this really incredible movie. It was released a few months ago in very select cities, which is why I got to see it, because I'm very lucky that I live in New York, where everything gets to, you know, at least be in the movie theater for a week or so.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's Russell Crowe, it's Rami Malek, Michael Shannon.
Oh, I love Michael
John Slattery, Richard E. Grant. Like, it's a great, Colin Hanks. It's an amazing film, and it's about the Nuremberg trials that followed World War II. And it's a thing that I thought that I knew quite a bit about, and I was shocked.
Really?
Like, I had no idea what this story had to tell. And it's one of those ones that I guess is maybe just a hard sell, that people don't really want to go watch a movie in the movie theaters about, you know, the Nazi war crimes.
Yeah.
But it's an incredible film that was really eye-opening. And once again, I don't know, timely because timeless or the other way around, but there were lines in it that I was like, was this written last week? Like,
Right. Like
it felt so sadly and strangely familiar that I think I just wish people would see it. I sort of wish it was a Netflix movie. You know what I mean? Like, I wish it was that one that like was just really easy. Like, let's just all put it on and
well,
watch
they
it.
They may acquire it. You never know. You know,
I'm hoping that someone does. That's my hope, is that like somebody picks it up, but maybe that's, I don't know. I think people are afraid. I think people are afraid of being skewed as like, oh, well, this is like a liberal message. And it's not, it's just, this is what happened. This is what this person did. This is what this other, I mean, Rami Malek's character is like a really tragic, like trying to shine the light on this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's an amazing film, and I hope that people get to see it. If you get a chance to see Nuremberg, it's not going to be up for any major awards, I don't think, but I just think it's worth seeing. So that's all. Wanted to do a quick mention of that one as well.
Yeah, I want to see it. I have a random thing.
Yeah.
I need counsel. Should I go back to Hulu Live or should I try YouTube? Because I think you can get the live stuff on that too.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look into like what the, because part of me wants to say Hulu Live, because like Hulu has so much stuff that you can watch later on as well. So yeah. If there is also a live option, that feels worth it.
Yeah.
But I also know that like the future seems to be shifting back to YouTube a bit. Like they just made the announcement that in 3 years, I think it is, that the Oscars will be officially a YouTube production.
Oh, wow. I might give it a chance. I don't know if anybody is listening and wants to send me a DM, although I may not see it for weeks because I'm off and on of social media. But.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. That's interesting to look into. My random is just that I'm going to come see you pretty
yes!
soon. And I'm super excited.
I am so excited, Mike. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's going to be in a bit. And I'm hoping we can kind of like keep this schedule for a little bit.
Yeah,
like
this works for me, I
before,
think. Yeah.
Before, it's real early for you. And somehow it feels early for me, even though it's not at all. But I think we can make it work. And, I would just be remiss if, and I don't want to categorize this as what I could do without, but it is a little sad thing that happened this week that I want to make sure that I bring up to sort of, you know, honor and respect. And that is that our friend Annabelle had to let her beautiful, beautiful, sweet, sweet little kitten go.
She did?
Yeah, you know, Beaches, truly, truly the sweetest cat that I think ever existed in the world. Like, just like the most loving, like just, you know, and she was 20 years old. Like she had a nice,
wow.
sweet, long life. Yeah, she was around for a while. And,
oh my gosh.
And, you know, she, between the time that I saw her about a month ago, and then I got to see her when Annabella kind of like reached out to be like, I think that the time is coming really soon that I went to see her again. And you could tell that she was just so tired and she was so uncomfortable but it was still, it was sad. And, you know, on the bright side, Annabelle got to be there and got to like be sort of holding her and petting her as the process happened. But you know, for all the sadness, she had a sweet, beautiful little kitty life, and
yeah.
but also got to be like in loving arms as she left this world. You know,
oh my gosh, I didn't know. I must have missed that.
I think she just put something up like yesterday. Like it was a thing that, you know, it's a really painful situation. And,
yeah.
But I think that it was the right choice, the right thing to do. And,
yes.
you know, sometimes you have to make those kind of like awful, sad, but important decisions as the human, you know, as the yeah. person in charge, you know. And I'm glad that I got to see Beaches one more time and got to, you know, I was yeah. saying, I don't mean this as a funny thing. Like we didn't have to settle any scores. Like I didn't have to like, you know, say anything last minute to her, but I am really glad that I got to go over the night before and you know, she kind of like got up and let me pet her a little bit. And then really quickly was like, and now I'm going to go lay down and I just want to go, you know, she was ready. She was ready to go to sleep, but
I love it. Animals are the best. They really give us so much.
Yeah, she
it's
was a
crazy.
Sweetie, so.
It's crazy. Is she going to get another one? I know that's bad question.
I know that's everyone's like. I think for her, she's like, let's just let this happen. We'll
Absolutely.
Just like let the process happen, and we'll see. We'll yeah. see what happens next. But
yeah, because it
anyways.
Is so painful. But I love you, Annabelle. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sending love and comfort to Annabelle is yeah. you know it's a hard thing to go through, but. I do hope we can get back together. We'll do this for a little bit. Do yeah. this a few more times before I come see you. And we have, you know, we have my show to talk about.
Yes.
I'd love to talk about like Thanksgiving and the holidays. We have lots
yes.
of back stuff to catch up on. So we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
And for the foreseeable future. And I guess this is the beginning of season 6. Welcome
That's
to season
right.
6.
There you go. Welcome to season 6, guys. Woo!
All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursdays, so make sure you subscribe if you want to be a part of the journey. You can follow us on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and me at MikeJensen77. You can also listen to my other podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, with Elise Castle, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back.
I have to blow my nose and I will cut that out, but I'm
okay,
getting very stuffy.
Do it. Blow your nose.
So sexy.